Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Mike, last week we spent a good deal of time. In fact, maybe an entire Big Suey talking about Ian Eagle and the fact that his dad's name is Jack Eagle. We started by saying Ian Eagle is an underappreciated great broadcaster and perhaps has the greatest broadcasting name ever. And then we realized his name is Jack Eagle, okay? And we said that's actually a better name. But I am interested, what is the text? Because Ian Eagle's going to join us here. The bird is going to join us here. What is the text he just sent you a couple of minutes ago to announce that he'd be in the Zoom soon?
4 minutes till I in. He's the best. I've been communicating with him briefly. Now, the original hope, this was actually set up through Ian's son, Noah.
Nice.
But Noah's on the West Coast, and as Ian explained to me, there's no way I could wake Noah up at this time on the West Coast. And sure enough, that's how things shook out. But we have the legendary son of Jack Eagle now joining us, Ian Eagle.
The bird. How about that?
Yo, what's happening?
What's going on? This is very exciting. We are all very excited. I mean, the shipping container, me and Mike, super excited. Dan, not nearly as much. I don't know why he's not sharing
it.
We're excited.
Whoa, don't. Wait. This is what happens when Stugatz leads a segment right there. He just buries me right off the start. Do your job. Leave me alone. Don't blame me. Talk to him.
Ian, we were maintaining. First off, you are one of the great underappreciated broadcasters that we have in sports media. And I mean that. I'm serious. I don't think people give you enough credit. We were discussing last week that you have the greatest name in sports broadcasting. That is, until Mike just pointed out, that we realized your dad's name was Jack Eagle. And we think Jack Eagle is actually better than Ian Eagle. And actually, we went as far to say that if you put Jack in front of any name, your name becomes automatically cooler. Do you agree with any of that?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, my phone blew up. I received, it had to be three texts easily after this whole segment.
Just an onslaught, an avalanche.
Right.
I couldn't handle the avalanche of texts.
It's a very big show. We have a lot of reach, a lot of power.
Yeah, I mean, to think that I've been on this earth for 51 years and finally I have to actually go out and defend my name, literally. Defend my name after 51 years. I'm with you. My father's name was cooler, but you know, the reality in my world was simply that it was the 60s and my parents were probably smoking a lot of weed.
Okay.
You know, let's get right to it.
Right.
Like this idea, and I've heard this many, many times in my life. So that's a made up name, right? Like that's made up.
That was that accusation was indeed levied.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what I would go with. Like my name was Saul Klimkiewicz. I'm like, well, what could I do? And I live in this fear that if I ever became a network announcer, that somebody from my fourth grade class would come out into the public forum and say, I went to fourth grade with that guy. That was Saul Klimkiewicz. Everybody knows it. So, yes, my name is Ian Eagle. Here's the basic story behind it. My father's mother's name was Ida. So they had to figure out a way. They wanted to name me after her. She had passed away. So you're looking at very limited choices. you're looking at Ivan Eagle, which sounds a little archaic.
Yeah, man, I kind of prefer Ivan Eagle.
Okay, you like it? All right, that's good.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are we still making Ivans? Are we? I don't feel like we're still making Ivans.
First choice. Right. Second choice, Ira Eagle, which sounds like an accountant.
Yeah.
One I would trust, by the way.
No, he would do very well.
Hey, just call Ira.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
The marketing campaign is glorious for Ira Eagle, CPA.
So, obviously, they mentioned Ian because that was the more acceptable pronunciation. But somebody on the show said it doesn't have a ring to it. Ian Eagle doesn't sound good. And in fact, this was a quote from my father when I was very young, when I asked him, why not Ian? Because I asked the question once I was of a certain age. He said, you'd go into the schoolyard and they'd say Ian is peeing. Like, this was the actual thought process.
That's good. Yeah, that's good,
Jack
though.
Eagle.
My last name is Wiener. I was tortured, okay? So he's right. Your dad's right. Jack's right. Jack's always right.
Yeah. He understood it. So they had some kind of premonition that if I did anything in the public life, that Ian Eagle would be a cool name. And really, for the majority of my life, it wasn't a huge issue. 1986, senior year of high school, the Louis Gossett, Jason Gedrick vehicle, Iron Eagle, came out.
Wow.
It was a life changer. Like, I saw my life, which was pretty easy up until that point, get turned upside down
by Lou Gossett Jr.
My name. And then, by the way, guys, it didn't end there. This had enough success that it then turned into Iron Eagle 2, Iron Eagle 3, and Iron Eagle 4 straight to video. This thing would not die. So it extended into young adulthood. And yeah, it's something that I've had to answer to. You guys are the first to really uncork it on a national stage.
Right, yeah.
And I'll just give you one last example because there's so many. I go into school. You know, this is the first day of school. There's always trepidation. You don't know how the day is going to go. You show up for the first day of school, 10th grade, history class, and what do? A roll call. Delia Delgado, yeah, I'm here. Anatoly Datinsky, I'm here. Victor Doja, yeah, over here. Ian Eagle. Yeah, it's actually Ian. What? It's Ian. Why? Well, because my parents made that decision, not me. Okay, Ian Eagle. You live with it.
And people were speculating last week that your name was actually Ian Eagle and that you switched it around when you became a broadcaster, but I'm glad that you cleared that up. Now, after the success of Iron Eagle and Iron Eagle 2, did you ever consider naming your son Ian Eagle 2?
We did. Billy, first of all, my dream was to become a broadcaster.
He got to.
No!
Yes! 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 Yes!
That's the way you do it,
Bird! Yes! That's how you do it, Bird!
Tony's loving it.
Wow.
Bring him up.
That was my goal. When my parents said, what do you want to do? And I was young. I was 7 years old. I said, Mom, Dad, I have this dream. I don't know if I can attain it. But one day, if I could just be a professional broadcaster, they said, well, here's the issue, Ian. It's broadcaster.
Ian, he's dead and buried.
Come on.
I said, what's the difference between broadcasting and broadcasting?
6 feet under
and
already.
At that point, Billy, I knew that I had to make changes in my life.
So you settled on Noah, who's becoming a star in his own right, who, as you correctly called, couldn't join us because it's early on the West Coast.
No, he's in a deep sleep.
Noah's coming for your stuff, right?
Oh, let's go. Like, I'm ready.
Such a traditional name, though. I mean,
and Billy does make a good point. There were discussions in our household. Could we just make this kid Ian Eagle 2 and have his life set forever? Because at that point, it's a conversation starter. Like in the, for the rest of your life, no matter where you go to the DMV, what's your name? It's Iron Eagle 2. You go to a party. Hey, what's up, man? Nice to meet you. What's your name? It's Iron Eagle 2.
One of the things that's funny, I believe Bugshami has told me that you were very close to a stand-up comedy career. And what is interesting about how you have sculpted this particular craft is you've chosen a profession that doesn't actually allow you to show how funny you are.
But I think your dad did that, right? Jack did that, correct?
Yeah, Jack was a stand-up comedian. He was a commercial actor. He was in TV shows, movies. He was a really entertaining and cool guy. You know, that's the one thing that stood out about Jack. Any situation you put him in, he would make better. He was just one of those people. We all know those people. He was one of them. And my mom was a singer. She was his opening act. They met at the Playboy Club 1968 in Chicago. My mom opened for my dad, and that was the first meeting. And who knows when the conception was. It was pretty close.
Well, probably when she opened for your dad.
Well, yeah. I mean, she literally opened for my dad.
That's what I was going for.
I kind of sensed that, and then we went there. Look, it happened. They had the sex.
They did have the sex.
The sex.
They did. Did you come close to actually going down that path? Like, obviously, if you grow up in an entertainment household, this is something that you're going to be called to, I would imagine, and you chose a profession that really the rigidities of it must frustrate you because while you're funny on the broadcast, there's not a lot of room to actually be funny in the cathedral doing specifically what you do.
No, you're right. There was probably a thought of that, but I'm talking about when I was five. They would put me on stage. This would definitely have put child labor laws to the test. They would put me in what they called a handsome suit at the age of five, put me on stage, part of their closing routine, bow tie, checker jacket, and I would perform at the Concord Hotel on the Borscht Belt or Grossinger's or the Neville or Falls View. And we did this for about a year, and I had a routine that involved imitations. I did Howard Cosell, I did Muhammad Ali, and I did, I still don't know why, clearly my father wrote the act, W.C. Fields, which was a huge crowd pleaser at the time.
You know, really?
Can you still do the W.C. Fields?
I want to hear all three of them.
No. I don't do them now. This was in the mid-70s. So, yeah, the basic premise was Cosell would do interviews. Muhammad. And it's coming out of a five-year-old kid with a bow tie. And it would kill. It would kill. And I did it for about 9 months. And I remember one particular night, my father brought the handsome suit with him. We went up to the Catskills. And I don't know, it was like Roberto Duran. I was like, hey, dude, no mas. I'm out. Like, the act, it's not working for me anymore. I'm going to be sick soon. I don't need this in my life. I don't need this kind of pressure and stress. And that was it. I hung up the handsome suit at that point, and I decided sportscasting was the way to go.
So do you agree with the premise? If I take Dan Levitard and make him Jack Levitard, does he automatically become cooler? Yes.
Automatic. You guys nailed that. I mean, that was something that I never thought about in those terms, and now it's changed my life. It's as if I led a life pre-Jack, and now it's post-Jack. Everything that's happened since that statement, my life seems much clearer. Yes, I agree.
I am such a huge fan of your work. You were teamed up with Dan Fouts for the longest time, and it was the bird and the beard, and now you're with Charles Davis. Have you worked out a nickname? Because you're not going to top bird and the beard, but it's sort of your thing now. You go to the bird and blank.
I know. Put it on the board. You want to pull this thing out? I'm cool with it. I trust the people. This is the world we live in now. I'm okay with putting the nickname up for chance. But no, we have not done the nickname thing. We did the bird and the beard. I just threw that out there maybe in our second year together. Dan and I were together for 10 years. So 2002, I just threw it out there on a welcome back. And somebody kind of dug it in New York. And then JB, on a throwback to us after an NFL Today update, referred to us as the bird and the beard. And you know, it kind of took on a life.
Remember where I was at that moment.
Oh, I mean, don't we all?
Yeah, it's one of those.
I was in Nashville when it happened.
Fouts is a real asshole, right? He seems like the sweetest man in the world. He seems like
what a douchebag. No, he is. he's the best. Truly, one of my best friends. We had so many laughs together over the 10-year period, and as Dan alluded to, you know, you can only go so far on an NFL broadcast, and I feel like we would push it a bit with our banter, but never quite cross the line into the area where it was becoming a focal point of the broadcast. There were a lot of inside jokes between the two of us, and then some things that we were able to translate into what we thought was at least mildly entertaining banter over the course of an NFL broadcast. But we would make one another laugh very hard during a game that I can't even imagine what my career would be like if I didn't have that 10 years with him. It was that entertaining and that much fun.
But not quite so edgy that your conception would be a literal opening act with your mother. Not quite.
No, I mean that would be pushing it. Though Dan was very entertained by all of these Borscht Belt stories. And in fact, I met Dan's dad for the first time. Dan's dad was a highly accomplished broadcaster in the Bay Area, Bob Fouts. And he passed away a few years ago, but I had a chance to meet him for the first time, probably 2003, 2004. And he just couldn't get enough. I would regale him with these stories about stand-up comedy and my dad. He just loved it. So that was another connection that we had. I did not tell him though about my mother actually, you know, opening up.
Ian, in your legendary broadcasting career, how many times have you called a game in which Philip Rivers is down one score with no timeouts and has to go the length of the field in the final 60 seconds?
Seven. I bet seven, Mike. Seven. It's so funny you bring that up. There's seven been on some, the button.
There's been so many, each, you only
you
got seven.
Each one? Or... So one thing that resonated with me, Billy mentioned it earlier regarding Ian Eagle. I've gotten that, and I've gotten some others, which might surprise you. I did a net game in Salt Lake City, and I had a very tight red eye. This is pre-check-in on your phone. You know, we're talking late 90s, and I rushed to the Salt Lake City airport. I'm running in a full sprint, and I get to the ticket agent because I have to have them print the boarding pass. You couldn't do any of that on your own. And the minutes are ticking away. And I hand my ID to the ticket agent, and she takes a look at it, and she looks at me, and she looks at the ID. And I don't know why she decided to take a crack at my name in that moment. And she said, "Ian?" I'm like, okay, I get that a lot. Eagle.
Ooh, exotic.
And even in this situation, where I couldn't miss my flight. I am so fascinated by her pronunciation. I said to her, I said, "Try it again." She said, "Okay." Eagle. Like, she put a question mark on the end of it. Like, that was going to make a difference. I said, no, it's Ian Eagle. And she says, "No, I'm not getting that at all." I don't give a shit what you're getting.
It's
how about
my
you
name.
Get me my boarding pass? And I went, my first French Open I did for Tennis Channel 15 years ago. I was a late addition. It was their first year that they had it. And I ended up getting paired with the great Martina Navratilova throughout most of the tournament. I ended up doing 10 matches with her over the course of the tournament. She is very cool. She's great. She's interesting, smart. She could not, for whatever reason, that full year, couldn't understand the iron portion of it. And she called me Jan for the entire tournament.
Jan Eagle.
Never
Jan
has Eagle. That happened before. She just went to that, and I never corrected her. It wasn't until year two we finally got together. She's like, and she gives me a hug. She goes, what's up, Jan? You know what? It's actually iron. She goes, what? She goes, I called you Jan for a full year. I go, yeah, I just went with it. I was the new guy. I was Jan Eagle.
There wasn't a producer who wanted to. Everyone was scared of Martina. No one wanted to correct her.
Yes, pretty much.
All right, let me try this out. If I take Al Michaels and make him Jack Michaels, are we upgrading there?
That's tremendous.
Okay, you won the You won the Bob Costas Award. Yes. Would you have rather won the Jack Costas Award?
Yeah, he sounds like a CEO. You don't think Jack Bellamy is better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, Roy, for many years, you have subtly worked my name into some segments.
Yes.
And I appreciate it, man. Truly.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Truly. Like, and not overtly. Because that's the part other people, you know, you get that they're clowning on you. It happens. You did it in a subtle way, which meant something to me. Thank you.
You got it. Get it, Ian.
Thanks, Jack.
Ian, we are all mortified. No one understands. Chris pointed out to us before you came on that you don't like condiments, that you've never had.
Not that I don't like them.
Right.
I've never ingested them. There's a distinction between the two.
So, like, you've never had a salad. You've never had a burger with ketchup on it.
No.
What do you eat?
You dip your French fries in?
Salt. You put salt in. If you feel like you need the whole motion of dipping, you do that. I don't feel the need to dip.
How do you eat barbecue? Do you eat it with, like, a dry rub or something?
That's a great question. I do have barbecue sauce. I don't consider that a condiment, although I know deep in my heart it's a mixture of a lot of crap. But I think I try to just pretend that it's not. So I'd rather not get into the ingredients of it, but I do have barbecue sauce. I'm not a communist.
So we're dipping our chicken wings in what?
No, nothing.
Oh, God.
I've never had blue cheese in my life. That might be, Chris, that might be my eternal kryptonite. Wow. If you're going to go and pick one item, it would be between blue cheese and mustard that could end me right there. End me.
Well, mustard's the worst.
What do we do with hot dogs? What are we doing with hot dogs? Playing?
I like the flavor of the hot dog.
Nobody likes the flavor of the hot dog, Ian.
Chris, you just said mustard is the worst. So you're putting ketchup on the hot dog?
I just wanted to say, Ian.
How did this happen? Like, why is this so? Did something happen in childhood? Did your family not do condiments?
Yes, I think we just went through that whole thing, what happened in childhood. I was screwed up. I mean, let's face it.
I was doing Cosell in a bow tie.
And the whole thing goes back to the name. I couldn't get that part corralled, so I had to overcompensate in another area where I could control what I was doing. So, yeah, and trust me, my parents were not thrilled about this, but I always had, I had built-in leverage. They'd say, all right, Ian, have the salad with the family. I go, you name me Ian, man. I don't have to do squat.
Thank you for being on with us, Ian. We ran out of material, as you could tell by Stugatz's fading fake laughter.
Was real laughter. You were tremendous. I'm not certain you shouldn't have pursued a career in stand-up comedy, because you're very, very funny, man. Very funny.
What? Is there another career of stand-up broadcasting? Because I'd love to do that.
Broadcasting.
Broadcasting. Billy hasn't been the same since you did that to him. Billy, like, what happened? You retreated from the Zoom. Like, what happened to you?
Ian, you're a nice man. You knocked him out.
It was very unpleasant what you did.
It's a respect to Ian, you know. I don't want to be disrespectful to him, ask him how high on his list of career goals it was to have a bobblehead of himself behind him or this eagle figurine or if that basketball is signed by himself because he clearly has an ego issue going on there.
I'm not saying that stuff. Billy, it's not Ian Ego. It's Ian Eagle.
Ian, thank you for being on with us. It was delightful.
Guys, my pleasure. Honestly, great talking to you. This was a treat for me. Right. So
I'd like to have you around more. So
you were great.
You're going to end up on Stupidity doing the whole show for him. he's going to hire you to do for to work
to
for free.
My whole bit.
Yes. Yeah. I'll ask all the same questions.
Iagle.
Iagle. Thank you, Iagle.
That was fantastic.
Thank you, Ian.
What a delight.
He's great.
That's good, man.
I wonder how many broadcasters have stand-up comedy backgrounds, because wasn't that Jay Glazer's thing, too? You have to be you have to be outgoing. You have to have honestly, it should be part of the training when it comes to being a broadcaster, just going out on stage with your vulnerability and trying to be likable to people. It's a good way to do it.
How interesting is it, though, that before that conversation, I'm guessing most of the people listening had no idea that this dude actually has an electric personality, because the way the broadcast job sort of forces you into this role of just being a guy who's making sure that the trains are running on time and you got to throw it to your partner, and it just doesn't leave a lot of room. Like, I don't believe that people, Boog Shami's been telling me for years that dude could be a stand-up comic.
Yes.
And there's just not a lot of evidence of that in the broadcast because there's not space for it, not because he doesn't have the talent for it.
I think it's so hard to pull it off. He obviously has the talent. I think the guy who at least has done a decent job of showing you that he has some sort of sense of humor while in the broadcast booth is Joe Buck. He does have some sort of sense of humor.
Well, but people hate him, though.
I know they do.
But to do play-by-play, you kind of have to like to talk. So most play-by-play guys outside of like Jimmy Cephalo, who doesn't have that background, are super outgoing and engaging, talkative. Some of the most delightful people I talk to are play-by-play guys. It's totally different for them.
I marvel at the idea, though, because those of you who have been listening to us for a while know that the sensibilities of the show don't respect the cathedral. That is a real stark example of you force a guy to do down and distance all the time. You end up giving him a real good job next to sports, but you don't see his actual personality. You just see that he's a real good broadcaster, that he's good at framing something for you, but you don't see the depth of his personality.
But you never know, unless you use him in other outlets, you don't know if there's more there, if you're missing his true or her true strengths, right?
There's no room for it. Stugatz, who's the funniest? Like, think about that. In the history of broadcasting games, all across all these mediums, you'll never find the guy who's uproariously funny and that you see it in the broadcast. You might see it off the air.
Yeah.
Give me the guy. You just mentioned Joe Buck. Yeah. Joe Buck is glib. Yeah. Joe Buck is clever. Joe Buck ended up in a situation where he had his own HBO show, and the moment that they stood him up in front of an improv wall, making him a stand-up comic and putting him in front of the expectations, Artie Lang buries him, and he ends up with no show in 4 episodes, and HBO decides never to do it again.
From watching the games, I could tell Ian Eagle was fun, and he'd find places to inject his humor. Quite honestly, he injects it more in the Nets broadcast because there's just more room for him on that broadcast, and it's not as rigid.
I bet you Nets fans do know how funny he is. You're right. Football makes it more difficult than basketball.
Well, also in that area, he was on WFAN for many, many years as a radio host and a producer. So people in that area just know him, and radio certainly allows you to spread out and do some other things.
Like, I knew that interview was going to go well, not just because I was talking to him previously, just because I watched him on TV with a bird in the beard for 10 years, and I know he injects humor such that it is within that rigid CBS broadcast. But
I hadn't even considered that.
It's also
CBS.
Yep.
It's not as loose as ESPN would be.
I'm not even sure ESPN is that loose there.
Levy likes to have a chuckle, Dan.
Put it on the poll.
There's no real broadcast combinations that are loose, right? I mean, Joe Buck is buying, like, Aikman is like the opposite.
Nance and Romo are loose.
No. Jim Nance is never loose.
Well, Romo's loose. Romo is loose.
Michaels and Collinsworth is loose.
That's true.
It's loosey-goosey. They're just really good at what they do.
It does feel like those two are holding a couple of gins, and it is sort of Dean Martin, Rat Pack, sort of on stage, sitting on a stool. I'm six gins in, and it's the third quarter.
Yeah, he sets a
second
tone.
Second down and four.
Yeah, he sets a tone with a slide in, and it's just, you know, a couple of mentions cutting it up over there. You can tell they're funny. They're just broadcast funny.